Thank you all for coming. Thank you for your permission to go ahead. David Olive will be in here in a moment. There is a small chance that the meeting may go on till 12:30. We're trying to do some rearranging. It may or may not work. We'll find out. But just a heads up. If it goes on till 12:30, the last half hour will be a closed ALT session. If necessary, we'll adjourn to some other corner.
Okay.
If necessary. Yes, I know. Sorry. Thank you. I have eyes in the back of my head, and I talk to him outside. I don't think there's any prep work. We're meeting with David, and then I believe Steve Crocker and Renalia. The order may change. We are trying to rearrange some things. And there's not a lot of business on the agenda. I think we just want a sort of a summary of what is the ALT going to have to do over the next week or two. I don't think we have a meeting formally scheduled, do we?
No.
So we're going to try to schedule one pretty quickly, but to make up for not having one immediately, we'll just do a little bit of talking of way forward and what things we want to focus on. Coming out of the meeting yesterday, I was quite happy. I have a huge AI that I have to do in terms of formalizing the decisions we took, but I think we're in pretty good shape. And David is, I'm told, behind me. That's okay. David, would you come join us?
And I'm much better now.
I knew that was going to be a long walk.
We have nothing on our agenda. Formally, we have no issue that we want to raise and worry you. So the fact that you were not given a topic list ahead of time, or if you were, I wasn't told about it. The slate is open. If you have anything you want to say, if not, I'm sure we have a number of things that we can bring up.
I see a lot of other familiar faces. I don't want to repeat myself in many respects, but I do want to say I thank you for this opportunity. More recently, I've also asked and was allowed to address the RALO leaders as well, because I want to get again to have a dialogue with them. And it's all part of, I think, the evolution of the at-large under some certain leadership and executive members, and under now new leadership, that respect, if you will, and understanding of the role of at-large has increased over the last few years. And I'm happy to hear that. My staff, of course, has been supporting your group for all the time. But more importantly, the recognition that the perspectives you bring, the diversity you bring, the regional and grassroots elements that you bring to ICANN are now, I think, more recognized than they have in the past. So I want to thank you for that. And indirectly, I'm very pleased as well. It's not my doing, it's your doing, but I'm pleased that we can be part of that as a support staff. Why do I come to that conclusion? Why do I share this with you now? Because we have been, in the last two ICANN meetings, having these community roundtables where people, and you've been attending them, and you hear people referring to at-large, to their statements, some of the comments you've made about the new GTLD program, and someone said that because of the quality of what you said got the attention of the board and of others. And that's, I think, again, a tribute to you and to the evolution of at-large, of having the force of your voice heard and now also kind of part of that process of working out solutions to the issues that you've raised. In addition to that, we had a conversation, if I may, if you would agree, with the RALO leaders, and it was Spotty who asked that they join the monthly calls as part of the SOAC, SG, and constituency leaders, as well as, again, another sign of the growing acknowledgement of the work of at-large and RALOs. So I'm very happy about that as well, because that had been a kind of a missing piece and of our representation puzzle, and I'm glad that that's being rectified. The issue was not that we didn't want to do it in the past. It was all a question of is it a roundtable or a town hall meeting, but we'll work it out. We'll work it out in terms of... Well, maybe. We'll work it out in terms of how big can this get, but it's now about the 20 people, so that's manageable, and it'll be a challenge for me to manage, but that's okay. You'll work with me. So that's the first point. The second point is to thank you for your inputs and contributions for the transition, very important priorities, and the accountability process. As well as, your general inputs into our policy development work through your commentary. And we have now Ariel, who is focusing a little more on the policy side of things, linked to some of our groups and experts in the GNSO. So there's going to be good collaboration with that and a focus, not that you didn't have the focus before, because we're all policy staff people, but she'll be working and helping more on these matters. Then the third point, I think some of you have heard about this management coordination grouping that Fadi had mentioned under three areas. One is operations, headed by the COO and Akram. The other one is governance, headed by Tarek and John Jeffries. And then community coordination, headed by Sally Costerton and myself. And this is, going to be a good grouping, because it puts together comms, meetings team, policy, GSE people, all the, in a sense, outward-facing community service groups under this coordination between with Sally and myself and their staffs, our staffs. And so I think that could help in making sure that when we talk about meetings and organizing the new meetings team, the new meeting strategy structures, changing of the Tuesday's encounter with exchanges with the board and constituencies, that was not happy and there needs to be a change, and I've been asked to work on that for Buenos Aires. So all this is, I think, going to be good. And more input from you on that canvas we call the meeting strategy, the A, B, and the C, but in particularly the B, for you to have input and greater comments on how you want to structure these things. So this is the positive things out of the meetings here in Singapore, and we'll be in a bit of a transition period. We'll try to restructure a bit the Tuesday board meeting with the stakeholders. I would like to see it go into a more topical view with everyone involved, all board members, everyone asked to attend, and have a bit of a discussion there, as opposed to what are you going to ask and what does the board want to ask, as well as lead time to prepare for it, so that it would be a useful exchange. And if various groups want to meet with some members of the board, doesn't mean you always have to meet with everybody, then you say, fine, give us an hour whenever you can fit it in conveniently throughout the ICANN schedule. It doesn't have to be just Tuesday. I mean, these are some of my ideas, and others may come up with some other permutations, linking maybe the commercial stakeholders and somebody else or something. We'll see that, but there will be a group that will be studying this. The board has now come around and says this has to change, and that's good, Steve Cracker and others. And we'll be consulting with the various stakeholders for input on this. So with that, I think that's those are my my three areas to point out that what I've heard in terms of the recognition and the evolution of at-large as they're moving forward. Congratulations. The inputs for policy and the IANA transition and your role in that is also appreciated. And our internal coordination of the services we provide for our stakeholders, I think, will help improve things. And that will help you in your work. So thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Two issues related to things you mentioned. The first one is related to the meeting strategy. I am sure at some point in the last few months, I either was asked the question or the issue was raised of will there be a need or a desire to rearrange travel arrangements because of the different meeting structures, with the potential, for instance, of at a B meeting having a different set of people than at the other meetings, and if it's smaller, that frees up more travel slots for the other ones, things like that. Did I imagine that, or was that something that was actually raised, as far as you know, in some form?
I don't know precisely where that came up. We have to look at that, because in my view, I don't think there would be a change. You people would still meet as the advisory committee. The GNSO would still meet. The GAC would still meet. I don't see a change in that. I think the but again, it depends on what outlines come out. But I don't think so. I mean, if you were to decide that in the B meeting you didn't want to meet formally and only wanted to send three people as representatives, I mean, you could do it that way too. But that's up to you, frankly.
The context actually there was a question, there was some small discussion among a few people, and the example that was given was since the because of the different focus, perhaps we only bring ALAC to the B meeting and not regional leaders. And I don't want anyone to bristle and say that's a secret plan we have. But that was the example that was raised, in that the regional leaders tend to be less focused on work groups,
right,
and things like that. And therefore, maybe that's an opportunity to use those travel slots more effectively at the other meetings, and bring active work group people who are not otherwise travelers. So I just wanted to know, to what extent is it on the table at all? And I was sure someone raised that, but I don't have a clue who at this point. Cheryl.
Thank you very much, Cheryl Langdonor. I've had to make my own. I will learn to never put my card down and not take it with me at all times in future. Someone else is now out there as Cheryl Langdonor, which is really scary. I think David, just to add on to what Alan was saying, it would appear to me in that B meeting, depending how it all shakes out, that, for example, the regional leadership of the region we are meeting in, mm-hmm, would make it sense to be there. But because there's also that outreach and engagement aspect of that day one, that the travel support that we normally give the other four regions could be perhaps purposefully redeployed for a within-region support or additional facilitation. You know, people can get on trains because it's in the one area, that sort of thing. So, but that's going to take some smart thinking, because that's actually outside of the box in the way we do things now. 2016 is actually awfully close, and we can't decide on December 31st that we need to work out how to do this if indeed we want to do this.
Another example, which, you know, since the RALO people are our outreach specialists,
right,
by definition, as an ALAC member, I won't show up on the first day, and you guys save a hotel room, and I get an extra day vacation. Johnny, next.
Is it on the meetings? Or is it on the meetings strategy or not? Because if it is, yeah, I would respond. But
okay, thank you.
You don't have to respond to my facetious comments, Tijani.
Thank you, Alan and Dev. Tijani speaking. I think that this discussion has to be held between us before speaking to David. I am sure that the staff and ICANN are keen to help us and to serve us as we decide to do it. So I don't think that it is the moment now to speak about that. Only one precision. This outreach day is not meant to be an enrich day. It is an outreach. That means that we need to bring people from this locality, this place, into ICANN. And this has, when it was decided, I was in the group, behind our mind, it was not to be in our silo always. So it will not be for our ALSs or for the community of at large. No, it will be for other people that we want to reach out to them. So let us think about it together and then come back to Dev with our ideas.
Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you, Alan. Actually, continuing on this meeting strategy topic, as far as the new arrangements are concerned, with a shorter meeting and longer meetings, etc., how does this impact on the staffing of these meetings, and especially staffing that will be dealing with our immediate space and then the next level, the next layer, if you want, of space when it comes down to our policy processes and so on? And I think I wanted to also add to this, and also the how does it also impact on the policy decisions and on the.
Because you are turning your head, yeah, and the microphone is here, so I don't hear you.
Hello. Thanks, Tijani. Yeah, policy decisions and timeline as well.
In my view, I don't think there is an impact, a negative impact, and quite the opposite, a positive one. I can share with you there was some confusion within the GNSO in discussing this on the Plan B, if you will, or Meetings B, because there were in those boxes some illustrative examples which some people were taking as mandated reserve days, quote, outreach all day. So how are we going to do our work, they said. Well, if the GNSO works 2 days of prep and then they have they're interrupted with the opening day and then constituency day and then they have council day, if I count that could be 4 days. So that's still going to continue. They're still going to have a council meeting if they so desire, and others will be there as well. So it's not intended to interrupt or delay the process. What it will do, though, and why we're doing the change, and Tijani and others who are on the strategy will confirm this, is that we've had meeting creep. You know, we've stopped Friday, but then when it comes earlier on the weekends and things like this. So the point is that there will not be, at least in what we think, will not be, in addition to the long meetings, a weekend in advance. So if you have the four-day meeting in Series B, you're not going to have two other weekend days beforehand because all that should be able to be put into the Meetings B scheduling. The Meetings A is similar to what we have here today in Singapore, and that should be long enough to do that. And the AGM meeting, which is even longer, 9 days should be sufficient enough to get everything in without having the add-ons on the one end and the other end. So to that extent, you have to think about readjusting, you know, your programming. But the point would be to keep it within the confines of the meeting and not have it spill over and cause further conflicts, if you will. And I think that could work out quite well.
So thank you, David. Olivier speaking. So for a follow-up, let me just rephrase this. How will the new meeting strategy affect the makeup of policy staff? In other words, would you have the same level of policy staff present at each of the three meetings as you do now, I believe, or would that be changed?
In terms of the policy team, I don't envision that being less. Same number. Now, other staff may be reduced. or as someone came up to me and said, oh, the Series B, that's the David Olive program, isn't it? It's the SOAC program. And I said, well, thanks. I'd be happy to help organize it that way. But the point is to have, you know, kind of working sessions of all the SOs and ACs as they normally do without the other add-ons that we get normally. So for the policy team, I expect no less, probably a few more if we have them. And you might see less in other teams.
I don't want to spend the whole time on this this one subject, but Tijani, you want back on the floor? And Olivier wants after him, so we don't have a timer here, but pretend there is one.
You don't need timer with me. I never exceed 2 minutes. Okay.
Tijani.
Okay.
No. Sorry, I'm asking if you're indulgent. Cheryl was on the list next, and I ignored
okay.
her.
No problem.
And it is always best not to ignore Cheryl. Cheryl Langdon, all for the record. Just not wanting to belabor this point, can we please, Mr. Chairman, have an action item out of this work that convenes a small group, including regional leads, to look at these particular points that we're discussing here and come back between now and our next face-to-face meeting so that what we're presenting to David and others, because it will be and others, is a fully fleshed out concept from us, how we see our best ways of exploiting particularly the B meeting. And in all the other rooms I've been in, it is the B meeting that's the issue. But Tijani,
right.
to my point, I was not suggesting this becomes some sort of de facto micro ALS gathering. Resources still have to exist to even give people you bring in off the streets a cup of coffee and a lunchbox, right? And the ability to free up those sorts of funds in the right sort of way is not a simple thing when you're trying to take it from an existing bucket into another. It has to be properly planned. It's not going to happen at the last minute.
Okay. Cheryl, thank you. I will note we made an explicit decision yesterday in exactly the opposite direction.
Okay.
To wait. We believe there is some staff work being done.
Work.
Testing. Our understanding was there was some staff work being done to flesh out those diagrams we saw a little bit more, and that we would wait until those came in before forming that group. But, okay. But it could change, but let's not agonize over the decision in front of David. We can do that offline. Tijani, and then Olivier, and then I'd like to close this queue. Thank you.
I think that at this moment, the best decision is, first of all, I want to tell you that the staff is as confused as you are. They have the same questions. So, and the best thing to do today is to have inputs from the community to the staff so that staff can give a model, give a program for the future. And I have proposed last time that you initiate a survey to the whole community about all questions you have in mind, and also another box to say what are other things that you think need to be addressed for the new strategy. And when you have all this data, you can propose something. And I think that we must be fixed on all those questions, all those problems. Thank you.
Just for clarity, Tijani, when you say you propose that you initiate a survey, were you looking at me or David? Okay, thank you.
And I think Nick Tomaso is the lead on this one, so I will convey that to him, yes. And the point of even the staff would be confused. For me, I view it as another opportunity. I don't see it that way. But the confusion for that point, I think it's a good one. They want to know where to go and how to frame that, and I think that's fine. I mean, the issue is... basically, will we be needed to do something there? And that's fine, as opposed to we're always going to be there, but what will we do? And so I think that's a good thing for the staff to reconsider as we're all kind of looking at the new approaches here as our organization evolves, and that's I think, a good step. So here I think confusion is helpful.
Last comment, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Alan. Olivier Crapin-Leblanc speaking. So the at-large summit yielded quite a number of recommendations, as you know, and I wanted to follow up on just two that are related directly to policy and that will probably land on your desk at some point in the near future. First one is number 28. The ALAC should work with all RALOs and ALSs to map the current expertise and interests in their membership to identify subject matter experts and facilitate policy communication. Several of the RALOs are now engaging in a survey of their members so as to collect that data. And so we will soon have a fuller picture, at least from some of the regions, and of course the others are due to follow, a fuller picture of what skills and skill sets we have out there. Following up on that, recommendation 18, strange enough, the follow-up is 18, the initial one is 28. I have no idea how that works, certainly not binary. Support end users to take part in policy development. I guess that's a very wide-ranging point, but one of the put together, these two recommendations reflect one of the points that was made, I think, quite strongly in London, which was to start looking at having people, maybe additional occasional experts, sent to ICANN meetings, coming with us, that are topical experts. So let's say INS stewardship transition in this meeting, very, very important. One of our members, we had a spare slot because someone dropped out from one of the regions, and therefore we were able to send one of our key members, Sean, and have him occupy that seat. Had there not been somebody dropping off for family reasons, we wouldn't have had the ability to have that essential fifth member of our of the team be able to join us here. And they would have had to follow up or to follow all of the discussions on INA issues from their country, and being in West Africa, that would have meant no night, no sleep at all for a whole week for the guy. I know we're hard on our volunteers. We get a lot out of them, and we're used to a bit of punishment as well, but that one is a little bit much. So it's just a heads up that this is very likely to land on your table at some point, and I think it would probably be a handful of seats per year, a handful of additional ad hoc requests per year.
One responder, you don't have to.
Thank you for that heads up. I think that's important. The skill survey is also of interest, because if you're looking for how best to prioritize and or divide up the work, an area of security, for example, and you identify the three people in your region as kind of interested and expert in security, then that's a quick way to send it to that security subgroup or whatever you would call it. Or others who are looking at more of GNSO kind of policy of registrar transfer, registrant rights or something like that, then that would be another way of doing it, internet governance a third. So to that extent, I think that's a clever way of prioritizing and having people take the lead in crafting some response or comment or input, I welcome that. In the follow-up to that, or in a sense the next step of that, could those experts somehow come and attend? That's something we'll have to work out. But again, that would be your call. We'll have to work on the numbers that would be allocated, but it would be your call as to who and how.
I think Tijani has something short to say.
No.
I'm sorry. I was
sorry. Wait. David's time is officially up in 3 minutes, and I did want to cover at least one other thing.
I was only greeting.
My esteemed colleague.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. The other issue I wanted to respond to, and you were talking about the meeting with the board and how those might be restructured. It's rather curious that the meeting at which we discussed how we can make these meetings more effective ended up being perhaps the most effective meeting we've ever had in that format.
Yes, agree.
Which does say, to the extent that we actually can raise an issue that is of interest to both sides, and we're not asking the board to tell us ahead of time how they're going to vote on something next week, this format can be productive. So I'm less inclined to say let's toss it out immediately. The concept of a predefined hot topic is fine if it's one where the board sort of presents it to everyone. I would not want to see one-on-one discussions between groups and the board with the subject matter fixed and inviolate. What is hot to one people may not be hot to another, and it's the board can put a token one on the agenda which we might choose, but I would not want to see too much direction there. Sorry, that was my only comment.
Well, I've been told in both body language and rather explicitly that it'll change in Buenos Aires. Now, yes, it'll be moving in a different direction, and that's good, but actually it's a good experiment now for what we have in the new planning A, B, and C, what that would look like. And so I think this is great, and I can tell you, since I sit through all of them from 7 in the morning until 7 at night there, there was generally this, the format has now run its course. It's time to change. What's the best way or permutation? We'll see some changes first in BA and then after that. But again, it's going to be, I think, for the better.
Let's remember one of the previous formats was a few board members come around to visit HAC and SO. That could have worked if we picked board members with some level of affinity, so it was not confrontational, and the board members did not go back and give us a rating secretly based on what we talked about, which was done. And essentially, we were being measured on how well we interacted with the board in that one session. Not optimal. No, and certainly not in those days.
I unashamedly called it the Dom and Tony show. You know,
but they were unsatisfying at best. And when I later found out, because Cheryl probably knew, but I didn't, that essentially they were going back and having a meeting about us, rating us based on how good our interaction was, and the interaction was how good the interaction was compared to what they were expecting, not what we wanted. Less than optimal, I would simply say. The concept of having a board member stay with us for the day, I think, is really bad. We will then have to create the agenda so we will keep them amused and interested instead of doing what we need to do on our one day of work. It might be really good for them if they have a lot of email to do or something like that, but. Again, the report that comes out of it might not be optimal. It's somewhat equivalent, I think, to, they say, making sausages in government. It's ugly to watch. So are our meetings at times. Thank you, David. Last comments?
Let me say, on a scale from 1 to 10, I would rate this conversation a 10.
11?
A 10, if not more. And thank you. I hope I wasn't repeating myself. I've talked to some of you in different forums, and so thank you. I apologize if I repeated that, but it was very helpful to hear your views on the meetings changes as well as the board structure changes, so thank you very much.
And before you leave, Tijani wants the last word.
Thank you. Dev, last question. When the new duration of public comment will start, of 14 days?
That started January 26th. January 26th was the new thing. It really had less of an impact on the people commenting, the period became longer. It was more of a cleanup and extra templates and whatnot for the staff so that they can do that. But the biggest change was the 40 days and the deletion of the reply comment, because that was just not seen as helpful.
Thank you, David. Then just pointing something out, I think that the current cross-community working groups are still thinking the minimum is 21 days. Would they be allowed that?
They're on their own kind of interesting schedule of time frames, and that's not a policy development process. And so that time frame is calculated in a different way.
David, I would suggest that the majority of public comments are not policy development process.
Yes.
And if we have lengthened them to be 41 days, that was for a reason. That is, to give us people time to respond. Now, of course, what CCWG and CWG are doing is not particularly important, so if people don't have time to comment properly, it doesn't matter. But, we're all between a rock and a hard place. And I think these groups may need a little bit of guidance to be a little bit more flexible than the 21 days, even though I understand how it impacts their timelines, which are exceedingly tight. And I've been known to say that what they're saying is the best case, I say is the worst case. And now I'm suggesting making them longer. So it's going to be hard going forward.
Comment on that. If you the recently passed board resolution on two-letter second-level codes, the public comment period was elongated to 60 days, again noting that they needed to have that extra time. So while we're trying to keep it as standardized as possible, there are times we have to recognize that the timelines are tighter. Thank you.
And I strongly support that. If we set any rigid rule, we're going to come up against, for some reason, that it's not right. So I like the generally should or usually type rule in this case. Thank you, David, for your time.
And
I will return in a moment. All right. We don't have any specific agenda. We specifically did not have any specific agenda at this point. The title is Going Forward, or Strategy Going Forward. I think we addressed most of the specific issues yesterday, and I'd like to just have a general discussion of how are things going. I mean, partly I'm 3 or 4 months into the term. And although, as was pointed out the other day, I didn't make some glorious pronouncement as to how things should go, I'm interested in a bit of personal feedback and what do we do to make the ALAC and at large more effective. And we had a bit of this discussion the other day. I worry, and that's been echoed by a number of people this meeting, we are spending interminable amounts of time on process and setting rules for ALSs and setting rules for our own meetings, and I don't see a way to get around that other than to make sure that when we do it now, we're doing it well enough that we don't have to continue doing it forever and ever. I'm still concerned that we are not spending, having substantive discussion, be it on wikis, mailing lists, or in-person teleconferences or face-to-face, on some of the really important issues. We are certainly having, if you look at the ad hoc stewardship meetings, we're meeting with people a lot. A little bit too much of that is talking at, as opposed to talking among. And I don't really see a way to fix that given the complexity of the issues and the limited number of people who can get really in deep into the mud. But we have a speaking queue. I guess I've said enough interesting things. Tijani, Holly, and Cheryl in that order so far.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. For the IANA stewardship group, I think that the main issue of this group is the coordination. It is the discussion. It is not. We are not discussing policy. We are more sharing information, more coordinating. So that's why I am not upset of what we are doing now in this group. It is very good, I think. The purpose of this meeting is well served for me. I come back to what you said last time about any policy or interested issue must to be discussed online before we meet. I think this is a key point. Coming to a meeting with nothing, without thinking of the issue, I think it is wasting our time. We cannot think and decide in a group. We have to think before and come with our thought and discuss our thought. This is not happening now. Now, when we come to a meeting or a teleconference, people are thinking real time. This is not effective. This is not efficient. So this is my...
Holly.
A couple of things. I would actually like to restore what used to be there, which was a policy roundtable. It was the one opportunity where we had an opportunity to get other people in the room, GNSO people, other people involved in the same issue, and then actually talk about the issue. I realize it got crowded out this time, but could we restore it? Because it was a time we set aside to understand the issues. I think the other thing, we don't make, and I'm at fault as well, there are working groups, and I think the chair of the working groups are going to have to say on that list, for instance, on Who Is, which is now morphed into I don't know how many working groups, and I can't sit on all of them, somehow to keep track and then have a report back, not necessarily to ALAC so much as to the group, and say this is where we're up to. Particularly now when a couple of those Who Is issues, at least one issue is now out for public comment, if not two. There's the NORC study, haven't gone through that to make my mind up. But there's the privacy proxy stuff. We thought we had everything in train. Yesterday we almost killed somebody, so it's not in train. Or maybe if we do kill her, it will be in train. And then we've... I didn't mention any names.
No. I think we need to note that that is a joke.
That is a joke.
Transcribe well.
I was laughing, sort of. We came across an issue we thought had been resolved, and it hadn't. And we were all a little bit, some of us were very surprised. So that has to be reported back and talked about. And then we have got the whole issue of policy and implementation. That's actually up for comment, and we need to have some kind of discussion. So I think there are issues out there, and we do have to actually find a way to deal with them. That, yes, it's Confluence, and maybe it's something else. Maybe it's webinars. Maybe it's starting to say whomever is involved in ALAC can talk to a webinar and make it informal or something, but say, this is how we actually get feedback, because a lot of us are kind of operating in a bit of a vacuum or just talking to a few people. Thanks.
Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl Langdonor, for the record. We have and have had now for several years some unbelievably valuable resources being more and more professionally presented by David's amazing policy team. They are presented, in some cases, might I suggest, a little too close to the actual face-to-face meeting, but they are always prepared and presented in advance of the face-to-face meetings. There are adjunct documents now and resources which are of a PDF and written nature. So we have in existence webinars, presentations, etc., etc. What I would like to see us do effectively and particularly to engage the regions, and I'll put a pin in that and come back to that in a second, is to make better use of that. I'm on all of those. I know how many of you turn up, right? I know how many regional leaders aren't there and how many ALS people are not in those rooms. Those rooms can take 300, 400. There is no excuse. Then, Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that's when we then, after those education, information, exercises, we have and convene a call in advance of our face-to-face that brings the few people who are then coming to whatever country together, and I think we can do more policy and less process. So I think let's make smart resource use of what we've got. Pin back out of regional. Many of the regional VPs are looking at local programs and are happy to emulate and duplicate and in many cases do in local language reach out. So just with a little bit of smart planning here, between now and when we're to the real rubber hits the road on our ALAC review, I think we can have some significant changes in place and I'd like to suggest that we do so.
Thank you very much. Couple of comments. Holly, on your issue on the policy roundtable, Holly, if you really want to say something, then say it on the microphone so I can hear. No? Okay. Those are public meetings. If we want to schedule those, they've got to be scheduled in advance with titles, subjects, and some committed speakers. That's the only way to do that. Okay. Please let me finish. They are not a substitute for discussions of the ALAC and the regional leaders when and if appropriate. As Cheryl mentioned, the policy events that are given, whether they are meetings at this, at a face-to-face or webinars ahead of time, are exceedingly poorly attended by the ALAC and our regional leaders, and of course, with very few exceptions, by the at-large people outside of the in-group. Your policy roundtables were exceedingly poorly represented in most of these cases. I don't know how to fix that. We don't have shackles. And they don't work. They don't work remotely in any case. Metrics may help one day, but to be honest, people don't seem to care. I've made a plea that people attend the policy and implementation talk. There were a couple of you there, but that's it. And it didn't conflict with anything, I believe, that was of any crucial interest. We have a problem that, yes, I know not everyone is, to quote Fadi, is a policy wonk. Not everyone, wants to focus on policy. But if you're in ICANN, you've got to at least try to make yourself aware of these things. And we're not succeeding right now. And that's why we're not having substantive policy discussions around the table. It's not that we don't never schedule them. It's when we do, two people speak. And I think that is somewhat of a problem. And I don't quite know how to fix it. What's our timing, by the way? Okay, we've got plenty of time. And I don't know what the incentive is we can give to try to change that. And when we appoint people, we don't seem to, in general, be taking that into account, so we're just reproducing the problem over and over again. And I think we really need to figure out how to change that. There's no way we're going to be able to, we keep on talking about pushing the discussions down into the RALOs and ALSs. Hard to do that when none of the people from the RALO participate in those discussions, in some cases, participate in those discussions at this level. It's a real hard push to say they then go down and try to initiate discussions when they're not participating at all. And I know everyone has different strengths, but somehow we've got to change it a little bit, and I don't have any answers, and Cheryl apparently does.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. And I always have some answers. Whether they're the right ones is another question altogether. We are making inroads already, which I believe just haven't had enough time to show the results of it. The capacity building webinars, and perhaps this is what my friend Tijani may be bringing up himself, so I won't belabor those points either. But we're doing some things in recent times, which I think will begin to make a difference. But what we're not doing is, and I'm not going to use the word mentoring with either a capital M or a lowercase m, because that's another thing we do need to do, but it should be ICANN-wide and it should be well designed and developed. We haven't done any of that yet. But perhaps a buddy system, a peer support system, a something with what a few of us can do to prompt, encourage, and then get whoever you prompt and encourage to pay it on may help. I'm delighted, for example, and I'll say, because whilst I know some have left from a travel point of view, and I want to note that now, some of our NOMCOM appointments are not sitting at this table, not that they need to be because they're not the leadership team, but some are. Many of those who are not sitting at this table right now have had to leave. That said, some of you guys are here and present and accountable every single meeting for just about anything you can fit in the agenda. That's a best practice example that we can get you to pass on to other people. But I think other ALAC members need to start owning that and trying to set those good examples as well, because it is good luck, not good management, when people get it right. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. I've got a speaker queue, perhaps not in the right order, but the order I noticed it, of Olivier, Leon, and Tijani, but I will... Pardon me?
Leon first.
Leon first. I will flip the order.
He has been waiting for a while.
I'm
but,
learning.
But he's too polite to wave his card, so...
He did wave it, and I nodded ahead of him, but I hadn't realized what the order was.
He crumpled his card.
Olivier,
instead.
Enough.
As you will notice.
I noticed his card is almost shredded in frustration. However, I will interject a comment first in response to Cheryl. And part of it is aimed at me, and part, Jimmy, I'm going to aim it at you, and... Sorry for not giving you a heads up. When Jimmy was announced as the incoming ALAC member, I reached out to him and said, I'm available. I will do my best to mentor you and bring you up to speed. And he said, thank you. I really appreciate that. And I'll work with you. I don't remember the exact wording. Neither of us have really done it. And he is here. And that is a good thing, but as the mentor, I should have been doing the mentoring and dragging him along, screaming if necessary, and the day-to-day tasks overtake you, and I haven't done a good job. We need to do better than that. I need to do better than that, and we all need to do better than that. And it really, I won't say it's our number one job, because there's so many number one jobs, but it's really, really important, and I don't know how we do it better. And as I said, I'm guilty. I can't blame anyone else, but we got to do it better. Just putting the words and having the intent at the beginning apparently is not good enough. I'll go back to the speaker queue. Leon.
Thanks, Alan. This is Leon Sanchez. I actually forgot what I was going to say.
Leon, it was in another life.
No. No, this is just a follow-up to what Holly was raising, and I completely agree that policy roundtable is something very important for work. We did try to schedule the policy roundtable, and if I am tasked again with managing our schedule for the next meeting, I will begin planning today, so we can make this happen, because I know it's a very important part of our work, but I also ask your help, because I need to know which are the topics that you really want to discuss, with whom, when. We need to allocate time, we need to allocate many resources around having these meetings happen. So, I mean, Gisela was great with support, and of course we iterated this schedules with Alan many times, and I think that for the first time it wasn't that bad, except for a couple of overlapping sessions, I think. But then again, I would just like to set that on the table. Ask for your help if you have any hot topics, any policy topics that you feel that we must discuss. That'll be very much helpful to know it quite in advance, so we can begin planning for the next meeting, which now will be Buenos Aires. And when I say hot topic, I'd like to stress that we would like to speak about hot topics, because we have very little time for a face-to-face meeting and so many subjects to discuss. So I would like to prioritize these subjects, these issues, and have the discussions focused on what we really need to untangle. Thank you.
Thank you. I think Olivier is next. Thank you, Alan. Olivier speaking. And I had a couple of things. First, with regards to the RALO is actually engaging in policy. One of the big concerns I have is that there is no coordinated follow-up at RALO level. Some RALOs are actually following up. LAC-RALO, for example, has a lot of policy discussions on their mailing list. They're actually the most advanced RALO moving forward. Others are not. We need to coordinate this. We need to help them have lessons learned from one to the other, and get them to make use of the work practices that have worked in the RALO. And that's a serious job. You have to, you know. So that's one. Secondly, how to make our face-to-face time more productive. You mentioned speak less about process, and that's exactly what we're doing at the moment. We're speaking more about process. And therefore, I would ask whether we could put a placeholder in our discussion today regarding INA stewardship transition. What are our next steps in the light of what's happened this week? Accountability, what are our next steps in the light of what's happening this week? And also in our current policy development calendar, GNSO Policy and Implementation Working Group publishes initial recommendations report. Since our GNSO liaison is here, could she please also provide us with some details of whether this should be addressed or not? Timelines are very tight, the 3rd of March. I'm not going to ask about IDN TLDs, because I don't know if any of us are able to provide details on this. And then the one after that, potential change to registrar accreditation insurance requirement. These are things we need to discuss face-to-face. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. On policy and implementation, I believe we did have a discussion and said we would be drafting. Holly has the pen. We need to get some input into the process.
It's not updated on the calendar.
Perhaps not. No comment. On the insurance one, I believe we have a draft already done, or at least in process. Maybe not updated on the calendar. That one's Tijani's, with two other people working with him.
But then we need to have that, because our RALOs know even less.
Can we have an action item for staff to update the policy calendar with the decisions that have been made? Okay, let's take on the speaker, Tijani.
Thank you,
Alan. So the problem now is that the railroads and the ALSs are not working anything about the policy. This is the problem. Except, as Olivier said, and the LACRA law, they have discussions about policy. I will be tough. In my point of view, this will not change. Because, for example, very, very simple things. We had Patrick here, and Patrick wore very well-oriented policy. He resigned, and since he left, he didn't show up. He didn't participate in anything about Patrick, yeah.
Do we have full names, please?
No, Patrick from Luxembourg.
Patrick van der Velle.
Yeah.
Okay, that's helpful, because I thought you were talking about Patrick Feldstrom. I thought really.
No, ALAC, we are talking about ALAC,
yeah.
Please. There was Adam Peak, and when he left, we didn't hear about them. So people who don't come in our meetings will not participate. And that's why I propose to make some engagement and capacity building in the regions. So you go there, you speak with them there. And when you treat, when you address an issue with them, they may be more interested, and perhaps they will follow up, and perhaps they will read, and perhaps they will participate. Don't think that people who don't see you face to face will participate. This is unfortunately this is what I am not seeing. Okay, coming back to our policy development in the queue now in the pipe. Yes, this morning you said we will not have a call next week. We don't have to have a call next week, because next week we have a lot of things to do. I have the statement on the insurance for the registrars in the developing countries. I have also, and we have together, Alan, the special request for the budget, and this have to be done next week. So don't put other calls for the ALAC or for the ALT. And we have other things which are really urgent that we have to address before the end of this week, the end of this month. So I think that Olivier is right. There is not a lot of follow-up. But I think that everything we addressed, we put, pen holder or leader on it. And I think everyone knows the deadlines he has, and it is good to remind everyone. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tijani. Just for clarity, I don't think I said a meeting this week. I said, do we have a meeting scheduled for the ALT? Scheduling meetings is not something that happens in a moment. The next speaker is Holly.
Leon, I absolutely understand this was just packed. And I think if we're talking about policy and scheduling something, nothing is ever going to be like this particular meeting again. I hope. I sincerely hope. When you say hot topics, sometimes the things that, you know, I'm particularly involved in, all of the who is stuff, it may not be a hot topic in your sense. But even just to be able to say, by the way, there are this many pieces of this puzzle, there's a thing called the who, you know, all things who is was the session and an update. I was probably the only person from ALAC or one of the few people there. But to bring that back into this table and say, this is what it all means to you guys, you need to be involved. I see the policy thing as being a way of those of us who are involved in that stuff coming back to the table and then being able to say, this is what it means for us. Go back into your constituencies. So make something a hot topic that isn't a hot topic is the way I'd suggest. Thanks.
Just a quick follow-up to that, may I? You're right. Hot topics are not understood by anyone the same way. So, yes, I completely agree that that's why I need your help. That's why I need your help. What I may see as a hot topic, it might not be seen by others the same way. So that's why I kindly ask your help, and we can build this together. So, thanks.
Well, I'll point out that hot topics can be looked at two ways. Hot topics can be something that everyone is interested in talking about, or something that everyone should know about and people don't. So, you know, there's both a desire to talk about and an education issue. So, Maureen.
Well, so as not to repeat a lot of what other people have said, which I agree with too, and I think too that it's the thing about the cross-sector meetings that we have are really important. I know that, for example, the CCNSO really appreciated the feedback, and I think this is one of the things about the inner discussions that we have with other groups, is that we're actually offering them some support for some of the decisions that they're making or discussions that they're having too. It's a two-way process. They appreciate what we're doing.
Speaker queue is empty as far as I know. All right. Next topic.
Mayor, just before you do. I'm making every effort, Cheryl Langdonell for the record, I'm making every effort to also interspace comments that I don't need to have put in as new pieces, but are affirmative, conjunctive, or supportive or not in some ways to what's being happened, to be put in the chat space. I am assuming that as not everyone will be in the Adobe room and reading the chat space, that the record of the chat space is going to be part of the normal, and it will be looked at as part of the outcomes of this meeting. But are we doing the timing? Are we doing time points on our chat yet or not? Because that was an accessibility issue that the task force raised. Because right now I'm taking a lot of time to make sure I'm saying what I'm saying it about. I could take less time if I knew there was time points throughout. So it was an administrative question.
It's an interesting one. We have taken one of the tasks of chair is to review the AIs before they get published. And what came to me a few days ago is an AI that said something like, Alan is assigned details to be filled in.
Assigned everything.
And that would be acceptable if we had a timestamp on it so I could go back and we could listen to the recording, but it was without any context whatsoever. So I think we have some work to do on both counts. On Adobe Chat, you can turn on a function so there's at least a timestamp there, which I didn't get into Adobe at this point, so I don't know whether it's on at this moment or not. It can be turned on, but that's still irrelevant unless you're willing to go listen to a two-hour call and see what happened at that time. So maybe we need to think about having topic switches inserted as a note into the Adobe chat. I am fascinated sometimes to go back at the chat and see these really interesting comments. And if I had one clue what the context was, it might be helpful. Cheryl?
Just on that, Cheryl, for the record, I spend a lot of time in more than one meeting. So I will be in other people's Adobe rooms while I'm in other meetings, etc. And so I've actually been in these meetings when I haven't been sitting at this table. If we could possibly find the bandwidth of either an individual, but I would prefer an appropriate staff member, to just occasionally do more than say what the topic is, but even say what the topic is, that would be nice. The rapporteur on some of the more recent IGF remote participation in some of the rooms has been excellent. Some of them are useless, some of them are unbelievably wonderful. You know, I'm not asking for transcription, and some of them are near transcription of what's happening in the room, but just the high points and holidays make that such a difference, and it enables our remote participants so much more effectively. So that's while we're on that topic, another thing. And to that said, I'm about to leave the room very briefly, but I'm about to log in, so I will still be in the room.
Thank you, Cheryl. Olivier put two topics on the agenda.
on IANA and the accountability working group. Well, you can stay for 10 seconds on the first one. On CWG, I was called upon yesterday.
Which is which one? Because
sorry,
many people
IANA,
are still confused. So
IANA transition. That's the one with one C. Well, it's actually C with a tiny little two up above it, but we don't have superscripts on our talking, so we omit the two. I just made that up, but I think it's quite appropriate. Somebody asked me yesterday, I think in some public meeting, or maybe it wasn't yesterday, how are we going to go forward at this point? I do not have a clue, but I am told that the leaders of the CWG, in conjunction presumably with staff, have come up with some methodology yet to be revealed, and they are sure that this will finesse the problems we have. If any one of those people who is involved, Cheryl, would like to make a comment now that this is on the record and you may or may not want to, go right ahead. And then we'll turn it over to Olivier.
Thank you, Alan, Chair, for the record. In fact, I'm going to use my prerogative now. You've given me the microphone and ask Olivier what is his point.
Yeah, thank you very much, Cheryl. Olivier speaking. So I have a feeling, not a feeling actually, there is a lot of confusion regarding the CWG as to where the heck that thing is going. We can see two parallel working groups. One CCWG group on accountability, one CWG on IANA. The CCWG on accountability appears to meet somewhere, then comes out, then provides a plan. The CWG appears to meet in front of the public forum entrance as a group, attracting more people around it and whatever, and this is what happened yesterday. Or in the corner of the main hall, in full view, but not in full view, and, oh, this is a private meeting, please step away, and comes out with no plan. It would be helpful to have further details on what is going on, because it doesn't breed much confidence and much accountability to the process as seen from an outsider's point of view, and not even as an insider, I have no bloody clue what's going on now. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Olivier Shaw, for the record. And I'm delighted to have one of the co-chairs of the actually formally convened meeting that should have been in a room at the other end of the convention centre, but he will explain why there was a hiccup and then we moved off because we realised it was inappropriate, inconvenient, and very much a cause to your angst and others.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. This is Leon Sanchez. What happened yesterday is that we were supposed to have a coordination meeting between the co-chairs of the CCWG and the CWG in order to set the dates and venue, and possible venue, for our next face-to-face meeting. Since our two timelines are so interdependent and so linked, and we as well have many members that are part of the CWG and the CCWG at the same time, what we were trying to figure out was the best way to have a face-to-face meeting that wouldn't oppose the other working group's needs as to have effective interaction and have the deliverables were set to deliver at the right times for the right places. So what we did is we accidentally or not intentionally delayed our meeting. We were supposed to meet at a room with the leadership team of the CWG, but we were in the public forum queue. So that delayed us from being in time in the meeting. So the CWG chairs and other people were kind enough to wait for us, but they began the meeting without waiting for us. So that's why these informal meetings start outside in the corridor. And then afterwards, when people started gathering, then we realized that it wasn't the best way to carry out the meeting. So then we went to the room we were supposed
it's right
to go,
in the front.
And we had our meeting and we set the dates and possible venues. And afterwards, we left the leadership team of the CWG continue with their own agenda.
Ali. Olivia, your mic is on.
Rather than worry about it, what could from the outside look like a slightly fractured process, from the inside, I think what would be really, really, really useful is to actually, what are the remaining issues? In other words, where is anybody trying to do a one or two pager that says, because I've seen it on the screen, look, there are these alternatives and that kind of stuff. You know, something, even a webinar, for those of us who have struggled with more emails than I can even bother to erase, where are we up to, and at what point do you want any of us to feed into either directly to you or directly to somebody so that those of us who have pretty reasonable, firm views about the mechanisms for accountability can put our hands up if we need to and otherwise shut up if we don't? Thanks.
Thanks, Holly. Yes, I'm sorry.
Let me give my intervention, and if I don't get something right, you can add in. And yes, we have a speaker's queue right now of Tijani after me. On accountability, I believe that there were some nice cartoons presented, and there will be some dialogue going along with them, which pretty well describes the situation. So that, I believe, is coming. If you were at the accountability session, you were privy to it. If you were not, then it will be coming. Have faith. And I have faith. On the CWG IANA, there was a document that was put out before this meeting describing the options on the table. If you ignore the 10 questions at the end, which in some of our minds shouldn't have been there, it's a pretty good statement of the state of the union at that point, and nothing has happened since in any public way. As I said when I introduced the subject, my understanding is there will be some announcements or changes of plans made relatively soon that may illuminate the way forward. I'm not privy to them, so I can't tell you what they are. This level of secrecy and plotting doesn't bode well for openness, but to be honest, there are some things you can only do in the back room, and the timing is unfortunate.
I'm going to interrupt and say, if you as chair were to, instead of on the CWG or the CCWG or whatever list, on ALAC list, say, for those who would like a summary, you know it?
Holly, we already have an action item to move forward on that. Let's not have that discussion over again.
If I may, I think I've still got the floor, but Tijani, please.
Thank you, Cheryl. I have a very good impression, and very good, and it's not impression, I am very happy, really, by our leadership in the CCWG. Because we discussed during the meetings, and there is a lot of ideas, a lot of sometimes conflicted ideas. And they go, when we are eating, when we are sleeping, they are working. And next time they come with something, with a proposal. This is not happening in the CWG. This is a problem. Because I think the problem of the CWG is a problem of interest and a problem of leadership too. So I would like to say that the leadership of the CCWG is wonderful. And I am sure we will have something real and effective. And the way we are going now is the best. right now, we didn't disagree strongly because we didn't reach the phase of implementation of giving solutions, but we are preparing preparing it for the solutions, and I think it is the best way to go. I am noticing, and I am only noticing from outside, that in the CWG it's not the case at all. It is conflict of interest that is that the chairs themselves are more or less inside this conflict. So this is the problem.
Cheryl, we have 15 minutes left. We have some hard stops coming up, and there's one or two other issues that must be brought to the attention of this group, so I don't want this discussion to go on forever. I think at this point, if Cheryl's in a position to share anything, she will, and if not, we're going to have to take it on faith for another day or so. There have been some lack of judgment in a number of cases. We can't change the past. Hopefully, we're going to go better forward. I see you, Olivier. Cheryl first.
No, I see you, Olivier.
Olivier first, then.
Thank you, Cheryl. Olivier speaking. If I could make a suggestion of an action item, please. As the ALAC chair, you need to be informed of what is going on that group. Had Cheryl not volunteered to be a subgroup leader, she's not a chair of anything, she's a subgroup leader, we would have had no bloody idea about what the heck is going on. Please transmit this to these guys and get them to provide an update.
It's already on my action list. Thank you.
How many minutes? Two? Three?
You've got five if you want it, but no more.
Thank you.
And that's the end of this discussion.
And that was going to be the very first thing I said when I got the floor back was, how long do you want me to stay on this? Because I can cut this or expand it as needs be. So I'm now cutting it as needs be. Let me assure you that some of your fears are being managed. Now, you know I only say things. So this is one of those times, listen to every single well-chosen word I am making. Some of your fears are being managed. Some of your fears are not really needing to be seen as fears. They are assumptions. But if you can trust me, let me say to you, some of what you fear is, I believe, absolutely not the case. Okay? So I'm trying to help you relax. However, this meeting was pivotal and I might say, I think, very useful in forcing some intractable sets of minds to see what at least one out of the seven who act as the leadership team in CWG have been saying. Now, you do the math on that all along. Therefore, expect to see significant change as we move from this point. This is a watershed moment. We will have very different types of outputs, and the fact that we are meeting in such close coordination, not just a phone call between the two chairs and the three co-chairs, but now the teams are meeting. And I hope Leon was able to encourage the CCWG to recognise they've got a team of seven too. Right? So this is a very big change. Be a little more patient. The look on my face, Leon, when I walked out of the public meeting to see what I was expecting to be a meeting in the Olivier room going on there was gobsmacking. I don't know whether you saw my face, but it was a WTF moment. So I do actually hear and understand what you've said. I can assure you it will never happen again, but one of the reasons that we did not want to move too far away as well was that, of course, the very next thing on the agenda was Nancy's team's recognition, and this was a meeting with meetings. We had all them because they need to know about our logistics. So this was a gobsmacking, boringly, non-policy based, where can we meet, what city can we get to, what dates can we do stuff. That said, none of that needs to be shared before it's in concrete, otherwise we've got tweets saying, you know, we're going to New Caledonia and we end up in West Africa. Both of those dates are places are absolutely not the truth. Does that help?
It, in my mind, explains some of the things happened. It doesn't convince those doubters among us that there is a way forward. I am willing to take it on whatever, that you're not in a position to say anything in a public forum that's recorded right now, and we will leave that discussion at that, as frustrating as that might be to those of us who don't have a something clue what's going on.
Trust me, I'm a scientist.
I'm implicitly willing until we get the recording turned off to trust you. joke. That was a joke. I trust her even after we get the recording. Never mind. All right. Anything else? Steve is coming in about 7 minutes. Are there any other follow-up issues on the CWG, CCWG? They are frustrating as something, but some of the issues are not going to be resolved in this meeting. We've already decided we're going to do different kind of coordination meetings going forward with the rest of at-large. We do not need to discuss that again. Olivier has a 30-second intervention, and then Tijani has a 30-second intervention.
Thank you, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. So on the matter of CWG, the group did meet this week, and the INA Issues Working Group met this week, and I wanted to just formalize quickly with you then whether we were okay with having the INA Issues Working Group also have a component of the accountability discussions so that the coordination could be made between the two and also between our members on the accountability working group. If that is the case, then I would kindly ask that the members of the accountability cross-community working group be added to the INA Issues working group mailing list in case they are not yet.
The chair already has an action item to merge the two meetings, to schedule joint meetings, to delineate what we expect in each given meeting. The point of demarcation between the two will be, and that implicitly means making sure that accountability people are on the mailing list. So I think the answer is not quite done, but noted. Tijani?
Only to say, Tijani speaking, only to say that In the near future, and I hope we'll have a call very soon of the INA issue ad hoc group. In the very near future, we need to coordinate our positions because we are going now to solutions in the accountability. So our positions as members, five members of the of ALAC inside the CCWG, we have to coordinate our positions because we are now going to solutions.
I believe that should be one of the purposes of those calls. They need to be orchestrated ahead of time. I suspect our positions are already very close. We may need a little bit of refinement, and as I've pointed out, we know one of the five likely has different positions. So be it. If, as Sebastian has said, if his region believes that he is indeed not speaking what they want, that region needs to speak up. I don't think the ALAC can direct him, even though he was appointed by the ALAC, but he is appointed from the region of Uralo. If Uralo as a whole has a problem with what he is saying, that needs to be dealt with at that level. And I presume the Uralo person at this meeting, formally at this meeting, and the two Uralo people at this meeting will take this under advisement. Okay? I'm not particularly happy going forward on the CWG, but I'm willing to take Cheryl at her word and leave it be. Okay. One other item to raise at this point, and Steve is supposed to be here in a couple of minutes. I have a very long scheduled vacation planned. I will be effectively unavailable completely unavailable on voice from the 6th to the 16th of March and limited voice availability the previous 2 days. I will have limited email access, perhaps as much as Adobe Connect, but I'm not sure. So I will do my best to coordinate with the vice chairs ahead of time to pretty well take over any of my responsibilities. I will not likely be participating in any of the working group meetings over that period of time. That hopefully will be not too problematic, but since we don't know how these are turning going forward, I have no qualms at all about accountability. CWG don't have an idea. Yes, Olivier.
Thank you, Alan. Olivier speaking. How long did you say you were?
I will be
16
on a
days.
6th to the 16th.
Six to 16.
And somewhat limited 4th and 5th.
Alan, yes, the vice chair can perhaps replace you for the ALAC work, but they cannot replace you in your position as a CCWG member. And the most important discussion will happen now, in this period. So I don't know how you will do.
May I be blunt? Between the other people who are appointed, and I'm trying to remember who the... There's one... it's Leon. Because he sits in front, we forget him. And it's a real problem, by the way. Excuse me. We appointed Leon as co-chair, not as a sixth position, but as one of the five. And somehow I think, and you need to talk to the other co-chairs, because I know Thomas was elected as a co-chair, not as a representative of part of the GNSO. I'm not sure about Mathieu. I think he is also in a similar position. Therefore, you have the awkward position of both reflecting the views of at large and being co-chair and not being viewed as biased. I don't know how you're going to manage that, but I think going forward, because there will be points of discussion and disagreement, somehow you're going to have to finesse that. You did it this week when you mentioned a ALAC Rallo statement that had been made, but that's just reporting on a statement as opposed to voicing a position within. You know, there's going to be a lot. We're going to have to make decisions, and somehow you're going to have to do that. So that's one thing in parallel. Between Tijani and Cheryl, I have great confidence that you will be able to make positions, and probably ones very similar to the ones I would be making if I had been a fan. And depending on the scheduling of the meetings, I may just miss one meeting. I'm not sure. We're going to have to wait to see when those meetings are scheduled. So, this is something that's been planned for 9 months, and the dates cannot be changed. So,
I think, Tijani speaking, I think that the CCNSO has three members, Mathieu, Bicky, and Eberhardt. So Mathieu is the chair, the co-chair, and two members who are Bicky and Eberhardt.
Then he, like Thomas, is not there representing the CCNSO, but was appointed as a co-chair. No.
What's his GNSO?
Thomas was not. The GNSO chose to have four representatives, one from each stakeholder group. They were allowed a fifth and selected Thomas as their co-chair. The ruling afterwards, the interpretation of the charter is you were limited to five people, and it was not clear whether a co-chair had to be one of those five. The ruling we got at the time when we were selecting people was, should we have decided to name five people from the regions and a sixth person as co-chair, that would be valid, that would be acceptable, and would be granted travel support should there be travel. We chose not to do that. Therefore, we are in this awkward position.
The charter is mute about the co-chair.
Said, the interpretation of the charter, we went, got a formal interpretation, and the interpretation was we could name a sixth. You're right. It is silent on whether the co-chair had to be one of the allotted numbers or not, and it was deemed to be not. But we chose not to exercise that option, so that too is moot. Any other issues that need to be raised before Steve gets here, and he should be here in very shortly? Yes, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl Langdonor, for the record. And because I was switching between service providers, ICANN and the hotel, I did miss some of the words, so I apologise. I am deeply concerned in the CWG. This is not me speaking as a leader, right? This is me speaking as an AP Rallo participant in the CWG, that we are not being represented by a member.
Scheduled for the later session of this meet of this group. Do we know when Steve's schedule is? Okay. So we have a few minutes until he shows up. Any other random topics people want to raise? Holly has something to say.
Question to Olivier. Where are we going? Are we as ALAC going to be informed about what's going on in human rights? Is there any synergies there or not? Thank you.
Olivier speaking. In what? In human rights?
The meeting that you sat and talked to and I attended. You were there. I saw you. I think you were wearing a dark suit, if that helps.
This is the meeting Rafiq organized.
Yes, thank you very much, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. I have had a number of meetings, so you have to go through the tunnel and then look at the right level and think, aha, yes, this one. Indeed, there was a meeting that was organized by the people that came to speak to us last time during our last meeting. I said the people because it was not it's not a cross-community working group. It's not. I guess you could call it an interest group at the moment. A quick update. So, if you recall, during the last meeting, we had Lee Hebbard that came to speak to us about documents on human rights. And I see Steve coming in, so I'll be very quick. And so there was some work that was undertaken informally by this group, and they appeared to have then received some support from ICANN staff to have a mailing list under the ICANN.org domain name, and basically have been given some space for a face-to-face meeting and discussing human rights, basically, and the framework of human rights at ICANN, or looking at the possibility of having such a thing taking place. I think the only real action item that was in that meeting was to continue the discussion. There was no real knowledge about how to set up a cross-community working group. I told them maybe it's not a good idea to do so because of the complexity of it. And I think what they might be continuing as is an either interest group or work party is another thing. But they'll be around. What they wanted to ask, and this is maybe the action item here, is when can they come and speak to us?
Just a couple of words on that. I did talk to Rafiq and a number of other people for a fair amount of time. I too gave a bit of advice. The number one advice was do not try to set up a cross-constituency working group. You're not ready for it yet, number one. And number two, the community has no stomach for another one right now. But more important, they're not ready for it. They perhaps want to think about drafting a mission statement. The number two piece of advice was be really, really clear as to what issues within human rights we're talking about and what issues we're not talking about. At this stage in the game, if someone in a room mentions the term human rights, half of the eyes in the room roll back and turn their ears off. And they're going to have to stop being viewed as zealots and make it clear what exactly we're talking about in the context of human rights within ICANN's remit. So I think there is an understanding among the leaders. That doesn't mean there's an understanding among everyone who intervenes. You know. So it's a really interesting topic, I think. Tijani?
Tijani speaking. I read the paper presented, and I think that everyone has to read it, and then we discuss it together. I am concerned. I was happy yesterday by all the answers given by Wolfgang.
Yes. The paper is, in fact, much more constrained than previous documents. But let's curtail that discussion for the moment, unless Steve, of course, wants to raise it. I call upon the chair of the board and the at-large occupant of seat 15, I believe, to join us.
Thank you. Before we get started on whatever you had in mind for me, I was catching the last part of this discussion, and I was very pleased with the direction it is going. I have listened to some entreaties that we get, that we take human rights seriously, and my reaction has been similar. We do, every one of us, feels very strongly about human rights, but ICANN is not a human rights organization per se, and I don't want to characterize everybody, but sometimes I've been approached by people who say, well, human rights is the most important thing, and therefore it must be the top of the agenda no matter what it is you're talking about. That's a way of just stopping all progress on any real work that you get it. We're not deaf to human rights issues, but there really aren't any big, hairy human rights issues in most of what we do. And so enough said on that. And I wanted to squeeze these remarks in before we said hello, because I didn't want it to be part of the session we're now going to have. you're the chair. Start things off.
Thank you, Steve. The structure of the meetings this time around, which may be indicative of the new leadership, is no structure. We did not set a prescribed agenda. I suspect people around this room have some issues they would like to raise, and I suspect the two of you might have something. And we're really starting off with a blank slate, and you see, immediately, we have someone who wants to say something.
The other big change, which feels peculiar, a little bit weird to me, is that you refer to Rinalia and me in the same grouping of you. This will be the first time that we've been on the same side. I've been used to coming into this room and having Rinalia be one of the foremost antagonists. Anyway, Olivier.
Thank you very much. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking, and as the previous chef, I'd like to ask first, is there going to be a skillet still? There is no agenda questions, but is there going to be a skillet?
That depends on the tone of the discussion, I guess. Steve has said several times he likes the skillet, so... You may want to take that as a direction.
As long as we're all in the kitchen, I think I prefer the skillet to the knives.
Okay, so thank you. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. So I was going to ask you a question as the chair of the board on the INA stewardship transition process as it goes at the moment. A number of discussions have taken place within the CWG And, of course, these are always very hard discussions because it's all become very political in some way. A number of board members have taken their board member hat off and been involved in the discussions directly as a member of their own whatever body that they were in, or as individuals. And there have been other accusations, ugly accusations, I should say, of saying, well, look at that, the ICANN board is interfering with the INA stewardship transition discussions. And I wondered whether you could place some kind of, what your view was on these things and how you could place this. Thank you.
I'm going to actually be quite straightforward and direct. I think the idea that the ICANN board is interfering reflects a completely broken picture. How could the ICANN board not be involved? The transition is with the relationship with the U.S. government. It isn't a where ICANN leadership board, staff, management, whatever, is carefully put in a box and everybody else is talking about us. There probably is no more knowledgeable group of people about the very issue because we live and breathe it all the time. So I think, aside from the insult that is implied there, I think from a factual basis, it's just a loss of a huge amount of the knowledge base about what's actually involved. Another element that we've been watching a lot is the framing of the questions around separability, and that has, if one peels back what's going on, a fundamental assumption that ICANN is a sort of a distant object that you can't do anything about except take it as it is. And so if there's a problem, then the recourse is to shift the function over to someone else. I think that's fundamentally wrong. ICANN was built with two very straightforward things in mind. One is it's the home of the INA function, and the other is that it is a totally accessible multi-stakeholder operation, and that it's supposed to have, was designed to have, all of the access mechanisms so that whatever corrective actions are needed, you get in and fix it. So the model of if we have a problem with them, we will just leave, structures it wrong. The we in that case is the community. The them is the ICANN in that. But the actual, my preferred view of it is, if we have a problem with them, then we didn't fix it because they are, I mean, we own them. We have total access into them, and we should, if there's a problem and it persists, then we failed in fixing it. And the way to do it is to get in there and fix it. There is no ultimate barrier to doing that. So, I mean, lots made of the fact that there's a board, it's a California corporation and so forth, but ultimately all the recourse mechanisms are available, and any recourse mechanisms that you need that aren't there, we'd be happy to add. And the board is on the same side of this. I mean, we view ourselves as working for the public good. We view ourselves as holding in trust this function. This is not a career path for any of us. We're term limited, and we work very hard. And this us versus them dialectic that's been set up, and I think it's frankly being driven by more by the people who don't have an actual stake in the IANA function, which only exacerbates things because it gets divorced from facts and attached to a pro forma framework that is just brought in from the outside as if that's the template and everything must be made to fit into it. And I think that's frankly been unfortunate and has taken up a lot of time and has been a misdirection and has the potential of leading us into a quagmire that we have trouble getting out of. Is that straightforward enough?
Crystal clear.
Thank you. I've put myself in the speaker queue. 3 points. Steve, the statement that was publicly made yesterday, attributed to you, is I was pleased to see it. I really wish that the accountability part was much, a little bit more specific than we're definitely open to improvements. One of the problems right now, as I know you know, is there are certain elements on the CWG IANA that do not believe the board will ultimately accept anything which diminishes the absolute complete power. And many board members have said they are amenable to such things, obviously subject to the details. But we have a real problem. That leads to my second statement. We talk a lot about the multi-stakeholder model. The path that the CWG IANA has followed demonstrates that it is possible for a very small number of people to completely hijack the multi-stakeholder model and discussions. And we may or may not fix it for this particular working group, and we may have a transition. That's moot. I think we've identified a real problem that somehow going forward we must come to grips with, because it can destroy where we are today. That's the second. The third statement that I have is, I have said, and I'm not alone, for a long time, that we see GAC members participating in AOC reviews. And they have no compunction of doing that, and no one thinks they're representing the GAC or even their countries. We have board members represented in those kind of things. And again, yes, when you make a statement, you're the chair of the board. When other board members participate in things like that, you know, I think they're participating not as formal statements of the board. Yet we have continually in the past taken the position that the board will ultimately have to decide on something, therefore cannot participate in the discussions, cutting ourselves off from the very people who may understand some of the real issues. And what we're seeing in the accountability CCWG is a level of maturity and understanding that we need dialogues throughout the community that we have never seen before, and I hope that we will be able to maintain that when it's not the crucial issue of accountability in IANA and as we go forward. I think it's really a sign of the maturity of the organization that we're having that kind of discussions, and I hope it's a model for the future and not a one-off.
Thank you, Alan, for all of that. Remembering three things is challenging for me at this stage in the week, but I'll try.
I have the list here. You can look at.
I may actually ask for a refresher on the statement that you're referring to and the reference to accountability. I held the pen and thought about what to include, not include. So let me speak carefully about that. I actually wanted to put more down there. What I didn't have in front of me, and I wasn't sure what the state of play was what the specifics were that were visible publicly from the accountability track. And so I held back from mentioning specifics that I know are under discussion, but I wasn't quite sure what to do, because you got a type 1 and type 2 error there, right? You say too little, or if you say too much, then you create a different problem. So that's why it came out as limited as it was. Earlier draft had none of that in there. It didn't have any statement. And I said, well, we got to put something in there. Notions like spill the board or other kinds, and I don't even remember all the different specifics, are under discussion and are perfectly reasonable kinds of things. And anyway, so I just wanted to give the context of the those words were written kind of right against our time limits of putting it together. I mean, it was still being discussed, and we were negotiating a few words, and so that's just as far as we were able to get, but be happy to say more when we have enough to respond to and match it up with what's coming out of the CCWG. With respect to capture by a few people, so this is a bit odd, actually. If you're able to say that, and if that's a shared view, then what is the barrier to the what seems to me the obvious, simple, direct step of having enough other people come into the conversation and say, knock it off? It cannot be the case that the few people who are dominating the conversation also have an ability to keep everybody else quiet. Now, if I say that, well, then I get viewed as, you know, we're just protecting our turf and we're interfering with the process and so forth. So I understand that. I appreciate that. But nothing, I mean, it would warm our heart a lot to see a groundswell of other people energized to come into the conversation. And your third point was related in a way, if I recall.
The third point is board and GAC part. Well, board and implicitly GAC participation.
Yeah. Right. So if I took the essence of the of that, it was the pushback on having board members participate, or even having the board as a organization participate. And again, you know, if we push our way in and people complain and nobody else says anything, well, then that's an awkward position, and so we tend to be a bit reticent. But if other people say, and what do you think, and don't we have your position on this, we have a lot that we can contribute in a constructive brainstorming sort of way, as opposed to we've made a decision and this is what we're going to do.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve. And the term I used was maturity of the organization. We have to get back past the point where we presume people only wear one hat at any given time. We're starting to look at ALS expectations right now and criteria. One of the discussions we had way, way, way back, about 8 years ago, was could we allow an ALS that has government participation or industry participation? And there were some people who said we have to be very rigid, it has to be purely users, and other people pointed out there are parts of the world where people wear multiple hats. It's a reality. You're going to have to allow people in with some government, not control, but participation. And I think we're at the level within ICANN now where that level of maturity, we have to understand people wear multiple hats, and you're going to have to accept at face value that they're telling you which hat they're wearing as we go forward.
I was alerted to this a short while ago, and I don't have any strong thoughts on what rules are appropriate for you, but I let me share with you the thought process and evolution that took place within the Security Stability Advisory Committee, where we started from scratch, and I chaired for quite a few years, and we dealt at least a little bit with this issue. The initial set of people in ESSAC had nobody from government, and over time, a small number of people who worked for various governments showed up and were accepted into ESSAC. And at one point, I got challenged very vigorously by somebody in senior management at ICANN. I said, this is bad business. We can't tolerate this. And I said, I don't see a problem here. Our rules were quite uniform. Everybody participates as an individual, and to the extent, we didn't have very much that was confidential, but to the extent that we had confidentiality, then you had to respect that no matter who you worked for, or you just excuse yourself, you're not in the room. And equally, we didn't accept somebody from the government just because they said, I'm from the government, this is important, I'm going to be on here. We actually had an instance where somebody expected to be joined just because they were from the government. And when I said, great, send me your resume and we'll think about it, the conversation ended. Just that was it. Whereas other people, so we've had Doug Mount from U.S. government and Duncan Hart, I think, from British government and Belgian, it'll come back to me. My mind's very foggy this morning. Anyway, and it just was not much of an issue. So you got to sort of pick your way through this and decide what the basic principles are and where the comfort level is. I was once a government employee, and I thought I retained a certain amount of independence of thought in the process. Maybe that's why I'm no longer a government employee. I don't know.
Thank you, Steve. I think there's a growing mass of people who understand that, and we do have a challenge because, yes, anytime someone says something they don't like and they can attribute it to you wearing one of your other hats or anyone, they will. And, you know, we just have to look at the discussion on ICANN Legal on the AC, on the various working groups, presuming that because they work for ICANN, they have no knowledge whatsoever. And, you know, yes, they may have a certain viewpoint, but that doesn't mean they have zero value to in the process. Anyone else?
Patrick
Sorry.
Vanderwall was who I was trying to remember.
Yeah.
Patrick,
yeah.
Yeah.
Former ALAC member. Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. Coming back to what Olivier said about the interference of board member in the transition and the accountability, I am not on the transition group, but I am on the accountability group. And I can tell you that, for example, in Frankfurt, we had at least 3 members from the board participating in our meeting. One is the formal liaison, but there was 2 others participating in the debate, and I didn't feel at all that they are interfering or they are capturing or at all. I felt that they are discussing with us as we are discussing, and yet we were very tough with the board because we are envisaging the worst cases, the extreme cases. So, and I didn't feel that they were angry or something like this. So, by the way, I want to thank you, Steve, and your board members for your position about our discussion. We were. Personally, I have the fear that you will be angry or will be not very well accepting what you are discussing, but I am very pleased by your position. There is another issue that I want to raise here about the accountability. Normally, we have up to 7 experts in our group. I didn't see more than 1 participating, so I don't know.
I can't say anything about the experts. I haven't had any interaction with all of that. With respect to the board members resisting, there are 2 reasons why we might not, why we'd be oriented differently. Well, to be serious, the concern will be about issues that will come up downstream sometime in the future, not tomorrow. And we, too, have equal concern about that. But I would say that, you know, rather than feeling threatened, if things get in a very bad way, any excuse where we too can run from it and get out from under would be great. So if you want to fire us, that would be a fine excuse. Otherwise, we have to stay and discharge our duties. So we may be more on the same side than not in those cases. So I say that a little bit tongue in cheek, but the real issues that we're talking about are things that are going to happen not on our watch, and so we share exactly the same concern about the institutional stability and about future-proofing the organization. It has nothing to do with our jobs at all.
Thank you, Steve. I'll keep tongue-in-cheek. I've sat on a number of boards over the years, and of course the boards that I personally sat on, we were beyond reproach. But you don't have to sit on a board very long where you, no matter what your intentions going into it, you do implicitly get isolated at some extent, and the potential for groupthink is unbelievably strong, and you can easily see how a board can go off the deep end despite the best intentions of the people on the board. So that's life, and it's not until you sit on a board that you start understanding how easy it is for a board to go off in a wrong direction under certain circumstances.
Yeah, insularity and groupthink, not limited to boards, of course. It's natural in any kind of human endeavor. many, many years ago, I was privileged to be a program manager at DARPA. I had a substantial budget and responsibility for a good fraction of some of the most exciting research in the U.S. in computer science. DARPA is organized as a very lightweight organization with an awful lot of latitude and authority invested in individuals. That's great. It gets a lot of stuff done, and it scared the hell out of me. I was in my mid-20s, and I was deeply conscious that mistakes that I would make would affect individuals, would affect careers, would affect the course of important research and so forth. And I took comfort in the fact that I had a boss, and if somebody didn't like what I was doing, they could and should go to my boss. And if I was wrong, he would overturn me, and if he was right, he would back me up. But in any case, I was not completely alone. I think recourse mechanisms are very, very important. I think that, and they provide a sense of comfort even for the people who are being reviewed. And I think I'm far more comfortable living in that kind of matrix rather than having unchallengeable authority and then the responsibility of never making a mistake. Oh, my God, I can't live with that.
Thank you. I'm reminded we did have an online intervention. Is it still within topic, Gisela, or whoever is doing it?
This is Sarah for the transcript. The comment is about human rights. Should I read it out or?
Sorry, I didn't get to it at that point. I phased out. Yes, let's please read the comment into the record.
This is Ariel Leon for the record. We have a comment from a remote participant, Fan. Glad to hear that the board chairman finally talking about the human rights and part of ICANN's accountability. The legitimacy of ICANN to represent the Internet grassroots level Internet users as part of the global stakeholder community will be challenged if it does not address this issue in its mission statement and bylaws. And then there's the second part of the comment. Some of the countries' CCTLDs, CCNSO, and ISPs are all government-controlled and owned, and they can only represent the government. This is contrary to the bottom-up multi-stakeholder approach, and ICANN should do something about it to ensure the voices of the common Internet users can be heard and represented. It is relevant to the ICANN business scope.
Thank you for the comment.
The formal agenda was that Steve would talk and then Renalia, but you're both here, and I have no problems doing a tag team or intervening or whatever. Ollie has been in the queue. For much of this week, my eye has not seen Holly's card. You'd think Holly might move to a different part of the table, but Holly.
We'll leave that aside. Everybody's bandwidth has been pretty well exhausted by the whole IANA issue. I think my question is, what else is on the table that's really big that we're missing? Now, I know that the PICS issue is on a path which is hopefully going to be constructive. Having sat in at least a few of the Who Is working groups, and there are many, I'm hoping that's heading in the right direction. But what else is on the table that should be eating up bandwidth and hasn't?
So my mind was racing as you formed the question, and then you ticked off the top two that I was going to think about. So now I'm in deep trouble to think of more. The GTLD program continues to be a pretty massive operation, and there are continue to be specific details. And interaction with the GAC and what's the relationship of GAC inputs, whether they're formal communique or consensus or other kinds of comments. And one of the things that's quite evident is that the natural timescale for the GAC to do anything is quite different from the natural timescale of the applicant, whether the applicants want. And so we have this kind of ungainly process that we're working forward on. So that actually is provides a sequence of challenges. I don't want to say it's an endless sequence. I hope it isn't endless, but it's a continuing sequence of challenges that we work our way through. The who is also a substantial issue, as you say. We have two or three tracks underway. The big one that is the most strategic is the complete review of what the basis is and the expert working group, and we're working our way up to creating a request for a policy development process and then also anticipating what the output of that will be and sort of managing that process. But you also have the implementation of the controls that are in the Registrar Accreditation Agreement. A question I've been asking and getting no traction on is how do we measure whether or not that's having any real effect on reducing crime or reducing abuses and so forth. And the unfortunate aspect is that there aren't any clear-cut metrics. The law enforcement people, when they prosecute cases, don't have them bucketed in ways that make it easy to relate back to this. So there's a rather long-term maturation process that is going to have to persist. So a lot of different elements there. What else is occupying our time? Well, I'll tell you one thing that's occupying our time. We're getting a lot of feedback about, so we don't understand what the board does and you know, why is the board so distant? We want to see you more and so forth. And my view of my job is focused on the board itself. There's ICANN and there's the community and so forth. All that's important, but my role as chairman of the board is first and foremost to be, if you like, the curator of the board actions. And I've spent a lot of time, actually, in the past few years trying to not have the board involved where it shouldn't be involved, and to clean up some of the actions. And as a consequence, this caught me a little bit by surprise, we're now getting the reaction, well, we have no idea what you're doing. Well, we're trying to do as little as possible, frankly, because we get hit from the community. We've passed we've created these policies. You have no business doing anything other than saying, yes, well, we understand that. We have a little bit of business, but in general, we're not adverse to that. And the staff, frankly, puts together its actions and passes them up to the board and expects us to just rubber stamp them, and we push back from time to time. So I'm still working on the right balance, still working on the right description, the theory of what we do. We are more than a regular board that is overseeing management. We are not a parliament, as sometimes being described, although there are some elements of where we're expected to be represented as a community. We're expected to be an access for getting into things. We have a role in expressing our viewpoints and providing what we can from our knowledge base. I don't think there's a completely shared model of all that, and that is one of the things inside the board that at least some of us, and I think all of us to some extent, are actually focusing attention on. And my hope is to arrive at a cleaner statement and a cleaner understanding of what we are. And there may be some consequences that require some adjustments. I'm not committed to anything yet, but it's an active topic, at least on my mind. Rinalia, would you like to speak to some of this?
Thank you, Steve. Rinalia, for the record. My understanding of why Holly was asking the question was what would preoccupy community bandwidth. And the only thing that I would add to what Steve had mentioned would be the reviews. We have a set of reviews that are coming up, at large review being one of them, which I would expect should occupy a chunk of your time, especially if we want to ensure that the ALAC and at large remain relevant and effective within the ICANN structure. But there are also some other reviews that are coming up, and the timeline was put up, and I look at it and I thought, there's no way we're going to have the bandwidth to do all of that, so we need to figure that out. Thanks.
We've taken note of that and realized that something is missing. We need to, a review of the reviews. We're going to schedule it right away.
Thanks.
Thank you. Seeing no other hands up, I'll add two items. The first one, I will say ahead of time, we have a problem sometimes with transcripts and remote participation that you can't always tell if something is a joke or not. The first one is somewhat lighthearted. The second one is not. As we've been discussing picks, I realized the whole problem was the board picked the wrong name. If you had picked the correct name, you would have set expectations properly, and the community would have responded accordingly. They should have been public interest guarantees. Then we would have known they're real pigs, and we would have reacted appropriately. Sorry, that was meant as to be lighthearted. The chair of the board does not seem amused.
Well, the chair of the board is very amused. The chair of the board has just challenged to figure out a comeback in the spirit. And unfortunately, the only thing I can think of is the old joke about the difference between the chicken and the pig, and that's a whole other thing.
Good joke.
A standard joke in particularly the speakers get up and talk about organizations. They say they've, in the matter of ham and eggs, the chicken is involved, but the pig is committed.
In light of that, it dawned on me that we use the word committed here a lot, and it has an alternative meaning. And perhaps some of us should be committed. On a more serious topic, the board has given a clear indication that they would prefer not to have to make serious policy decisions. The work going on in the GNSO on policy and implementation has issued a preliminary report, which, among other things, says that if it smells like policy, if it looks like policy, if stakeholders are impacted in a significant way, it is policy regardless of when it comes up. That has the, and we're recommending various mechanisms to which address these policy, which are not as elongated as a PDP. And all, that's all well and good. I have a personal fear that it may elongate some processes so long that they become moot, and we'll never get some things done that are complex. Ignoring that for the moment, I personally have a very real concern that the GNSO, as structured, is not going to be able to make decisions where the public interest is at odds with the interests of the commercial bodies who provide the services, specifically the contracted parties. And we're not going to fix that. We're not going to reorganize the GNSO today, and certainly not in this group. I just wanted to wave the flag. The policy development process, or any of the new ones, depend on reaching consensus, and it's not clear how you make a decision where half of the bodies involved may be in a position to simply disagree. And how do you factor in the public interest? This is not a discussion unique to ALAC. It was raised in the public forum by David Cake yesterday. And I think it's going to have to be a focus, and there's going to be some difficult things. In the GNSO, contracted parties have the ability to veto something if it ever comes that far. And chances are it will not go that far because in participation with working groups, those who are defending the public interest are not nearly as well funded as those who are defending their businesses. So I'm not even asking for a comment. I think it's something we're going to have to come to grips with as we go forward, because if the board is to get out of making the difficult decisions where the public interest is involved, we have to find out who else is there to replace them.
Rinalia speaking. My question is, the issue that you have just raised, where are the discussions taking place, if it is at all happening?
It is not taking place right now. As I mentioned, David Cake has raised the issue, and exactly how we move forward and address it is not clear. I have raised the issue with a number of people in the GNSO, and the general answer coming back from contracted parties is, Alan, you're too cynical. It really will work. Don't worry.
Very briefly, the GNSO is a complicated, multi-layered, multi-tiered structure, and there are many, many signals, not just the discussion about public interest, that suggest that it's time to take a look at how that's structured and see what we can do. The other comment that I would make is the tension between implementation and policy has been coming up in practice, again, around the GTLD program. And I think it's less the board and more staff is trying to do what makes sense. And there is no bright line, although the GNSO is obviously trying to speak in a way that sharpens what that line is. You always have to have some room for the people who are charged with making something happen to try to interpret it, and you can't go too far one way or the other. If you make it too tight, then nothing happens because everything has to become a big policy decision at the top level. And if you make it too loose, then you've got no control over it at all. So we're feeling our way, and it's not unnatural to need to revisit what the experience has been and use that experience to make some adjustments. And I don't think that we have in principle any arguments about this, and the devil is simply in the details. And some people like to pick at particular details and say, therefore, the whole thing is out of control, but I think that's an overstatement. And yet, at the same time, I don't think we can be, ignore or bypass the situation. So it's always more difficult when a situation is neither black nor white.
Thank you. And Renalia had a comment. I'll just say that in terms of when we started off the GNSO process, it was policy versus implementation. It quickly became policy and implementation. And I think the way forward has some merit. It said it may be bogged down in complexity and timelines that are unreal. But I think there's a general agreement on where we're going. But then we have to actually make it work in practice. That's a different issue, Renalia.
The issue of whether or not GNSO is being effective in doing what it is supposed to do and factoring public interest in policy development process is, to my mind, something absolutely central to its functions. I think the time to raise the issue for discussion is now, because the preliminary report of the GNSO review has just been presented during ICANN week. I didn't have the opportunity to attend. It would be good to take a look at that and figure out a way of having a session or a discussion with the GNSO stakeholders to see what they think. And from there, we can figure out where to go. And I won't speak for the board, but I will speak for as a member of the Structural Improvements Committee, our preference is that if there is a fix to the problem, the fix should come bottom-up rather than have it superimposed unless it's completely, completely not fixable.
Well, I certainly won't say it's whether it's fixable or not. I'd like to be optimistic on that. It is problematic, perhaps, that if indeed my fears are correct and the GNSO as currently structured cannot make decisions where there is a strong conflict between the contracted parties and the public interest, or at least a perceived one, then that same conflict is going to make it difficult to change the structure of the GNSO.
Watch this, folks. Renalia is relatively new on the board, and is you're a member. Or you're going to be a member of the Structural Improvements Committee. So I'm going to say in public here, offer some advice to you. It's absolutely right that the improvements have to come from the bottom. They can't be imposed from the top. The additional piece is that does not preclude us as board members offering suggestions, asking questions that lead in some direction or another. The decision has to be from the bottom-up process, but the creation of ideas, the stimulation of the thought process can often benefit from the perspectives that we have. And I know that it's your style to be very quiet, reticent, and, you know, not to engage. So I want to encourage you to try to get out of your shell and try to offer some opinions when you're in that position.
Well, actually, when I was running for the election for this position, I was asked sort of some questions related to multi-stakeholder model, do you support bottom-up, whatever, and my response to it was that there are different ways of making a decision and being effective, and part of it could be based on bottom-up or top-down, or you meet it halfway in the middle. And I said earlier that the preference is for it to come from the bottom-up, but it could also be from the top as guidance as well.
But let me be serious. The way you frame that is as if there's a tension or there's a compromise. I think it's qualitatively different in that providing ideas is not the same as imposing a decision. Now, it often is misunderstood or taken to be, you know, somebody in authority suggests something, and therefore you better do what they say. And I think we need to be careful when we speak, and I think there needs to be a certain degree of understanding and latitude. And when we suggest something, I think it's important to try to do it in a collegial and a nurturing manner as opposed to a sort of off-putting or autocratic manner. So that is hard. I recognize that. But nonetheless, I don't think it's a meet-in-the-middle issue so much as it is a how to enrich the conversation and so forth.
Thank you. Sebastian.
Yeah. I will humbly disagree with what was said. The problem is that since 2 or 3 years, I have requested that we had, and it was not a joke, an overall view of the organization, because going to silos and reinforcing the silos is not anymore what we need to do for this organization. I know that people are scared by what was done in 2002 with ICANN 2.0, but I repeat that it's time for ICANN 3.0, 4.0, whatever number you want to take. And the question of the GNSO, it's not just a question of the GNSO. It's a broader question, because there is not just a relation between the different constituency within the non-commercial, non-contracted party, and within the three commercial. It's how we can reorganize the whole structure. I think the end user, NCUC, NPOC, have to find a way to be together one way or another. And here I am entering in some solution, and that's not good. But my feeling is that we need to have an overview. And the fact that we have in front of us too much reviews show also that the question is a broader issue. Then a systematic review of the organization could have been and must be the way to go, because what we get out of the GNSO review will be some tweak of the inside, but not the relationship with the others as much as we need today, and we will need it even more at the end of the year or beginning of next year, when the IANA stewardship transition will occur, and I hope that it will occur in the right condition for the organization. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. I noted in another forum this week that I don't think we have a lot of silos anymore. We still have a lot of independence and to some extent independent action, but there is so much communication right now between most of the organizations, and I said this in relation to the board perhaps being our only last silo, and that's breaking down, so we haven't fixed the problem, but we're not
you know, if you look at a silo, it's this big round thing that sticks out of the ground with no contact with anything else, and we're not quite there anymore. Silos also are used for missiles, and it's a different context. Before I give up the microphone, happy birthday.
Thank you very much, Alan. Thank you. Agree with you that you are doing much better with communication. But my question, it's not just a question of communication. It's a question of the efficiency of the overall organization. And that must be taken into account globally. Thank you. And once again, thank you for your wishes.
We've got a little under 20 minutes left just to do a time set. Any issue? Rinalia, you haven't spoken very much. Would you like the floor a little bit? You. Okay, that's fine. I don't mind people not wanting the floor. Any other issues that we have not raised at all that we want to bring to our illustrious board members? Oh, in general, or anything the board members want to bring to our illustrious attentions?
I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm used to these sessions being on a half-hour schedule. This showed up on my calendar as a 45-minute schedule, and now you're telling me it's an hour and 15 minutes, which is pretty much okay. I do have to move along a little bit, but I'm delighted that we've had kind of a more extensive time than I've been used to in the past.
Steve, technically your time is up and it's Rinalia now, so you could leave should you choose.
I see. Maybe I should so that she's free to say whatever she wants.
I actually had only one thing, and it's not related to what we would normally discuss. It's actually to get the ALT's help to encourage the RALO chairs to attend the board session with the NRO ASORIR. At this, it's one group. Good. Cyrano says that she's already mentioned this. It's actually the regional internet registries and the association of those and the policy body of those. So the board meets with different stakeholder groups and constituencies on Tuesday. On Wednesday this week, we met with the GAC and the NRO ASORIR. And I had encouraged Cyranush to attend that because there were natural linkages at work that should or would be done at the regional level. And it would be nice if the other RALO leaders were to attend it at the next ICANN meeting, because I think that there are synergies there.
Thank you. And staff will take a note. Staff and Leon, who is sort of implicitly now, Leon was the one who did all of our scheduling this time in conjunction with staff. And since he hasn't run away screaming, I'm assuming he may well be willing to do it again. In any case, Leon or his replacement staff, please take note that for next year's meetings, we try to make sure there isn't a significant at-large conflict against that meeting. Wednesdays sometimes are challenging days, so we'll simply note it, and hopefully we'll be able to pull it off. Thank you.
And then I think there are only two other things, if I can remember what I was going to talk about. Sorry, Friday is really hard.
May I one point, you were talking about what topics will be on your radar for the future. I think you have one who will be useful to take into account. It's how you will organize yourself with a new meeting strategy starting in Marrakech next year. I guess you will have the meeting team coming to you and asking you about that, but it's good if you can prepare, and you have five members of your team who were in this working group, and they know everything about what will happen, and it's a good time to be ready thinking about that.
Thank you. With all due respect, we've already spent about an hour and a half talking about it in this meeting and previous meetings. So, yes, we understand it's a major issue, and it's going to have to be a joint were effort of both us and staff figuring out what to do, and yes.
I'll just say that Ranalia made reference to the board's meeting with each group during, usually on Tuesday, but also some on Wednesday as we go around. We're also considering, we've gotten a lot of feedback, that this has become a bit stale and that we want to rethink that. And so that will be a part of what we do, and maybe we'll, I don't know where it'll go, but it's a topic that at least has been opened up and will fit into the transition into the new thing. We may make some changes even before then.
I'll note that we did discuss with David Olive, who we met with earlier today, that this ALAC board meeting where we raised the issue that these meetings weren't working very well was by far the best meeting we've ever had. So, and it wasn't just on that particular subject. It was just the coalescing of the other things made the meeting exceedingly effective, certainly from our point of view, and I've gotten similar feedback from a number of board members. So maybe it's premature to ditch it completely, or maybe that's the swan song.
Look up in Wikipedia the Hawthorne effect.
I'm well aware of it. But for those who aren't, look it up.
So, Rinalia again. You asked two questions of me for this meeting. One is how to enhance, I'm phrasing it myself, enhance the engagement between the ALAC and the board, and the second is what's on the board radar or agenda or work program that is of interest to the ALAC. So on the first question regarding engagement, I think what we've experienced this week has been very constructive. We've had subgroup dialogue that has had impact. We've had formal group dialogue that has been effective. So if that's not working for you, please give the board feedback and we'll figure out some other ways, but I think things are working. On what's on the board agenda that may be of interest, I can't think of anything else except to mention that Steve has tasked subgroups of the board to check on the implementation of the AOC review to make sure that they are really being implemented in the way that they should be implemented, and there are any gaps to report back, so we're doing independent work on that.
I will give a comment on that latter one. The ATRT 2 advice was given at this point almost 14 months ago, and I have not looked at any documents that were released this week, but up until now the level of specificity of how the implementation was going on the various things has been very disappointing. What we thought was one of the simpler ones and certainly one of the more important ones for ALAC was a simple minor change to the bylaws, casting in concrete that the board would respond to AC comments, and we still haven't seen that. And I know maybe there's a desire to wrap all the bylaw changes together in one big bundle or whatever, but looking at all of the recommendations, although I know some work is progressing, the reporting to the community on the status has not, at least until this meeting perhaps, had enough level of detail to go along with the amount of effort that went into creating the report. So I'm sure there's huge amounts of background work going on, but it's not evidenced out front, at least that I've seen.
So quite candidly, I've been concerned about that too, and that's why... in addition to the usual staff tracking and progress and so forth, as Rinalia mentioned, we've instituted a very specific board examination, a small team of people for each of the reviews to ask the same hard questions that we would expect anybody in the community to ask. So what really has happened, and is this match what we expected, and do we understand what's being said? Because I'd rather be in the position that if there's hard questions that are going to be asked, that we've asked them, rather than being caught off guard. And so little bit of tension with respect to the people who are doing the work will be naturally inclined to say, look, here's what we've done, and it's great, and you don't have to worry. So we're trying to get in front of that a little bit. I should have started it a bit earlier. We don't have the results of that process in time for this meeting, but we formed the teams, we've tasked them, and it is coming up over the next small amount of time. I'm measured in a few weeks to get the data rather than some extended period, and turning the heat up on that is, I think, very important.
Thank you, Steve. I'll interject as a little bit of personal experience. I was the person on ATRT2 who was responsible for reviewing the Who Is review. Ignoring the dissatisfaction of the review team members with the wording of the board motions and going to the substance, it took an enormous amount of work on our part to extract and then interpret the status of the progress. And in fact, more work had been done than even staff, I think, appreciated. But finding that out was an enormously painful process. And a year and a half, year and a bit has now gone since the last time we got a review, which was October 2013. And I haven't seen a really good review since then. So I'm supporting what you're saying.
Yeah, there are some culture issues, there's some workload issues, a bunch of things tangled in there. We're trying not to go to war over this, but we do want to try to qualitatively change the level of reporting and the clarity of it all and so forth. So there was something else on my mind that I was going to say about that, but it's left. But this business of responding to advice and the suggestion that we need a bylaw, even if we pass a bylaw, we still have to implement it. And the devil is in the implementation. And my view, I'm not opposed to having a bylaw, but I also don't think that it's necessary. I think we are fully obliged to respond to advice as a matter of good form, courtesy, good operation, any number of reasons. And I'm more focused on making sure that that mechanism comes into place, that we're timely about it, that we track it and report and so forth. If you want a bylaw that says we have to do that, that's discussable, but I think it is it's an extra feature, and the real substance is actually getting and doing it.
Well, Steve, if you recall the discussion in the ATRT two at the time, there was a general acknowledgement that the board is doing a good job. There was also a belief akin to our accountability discussions earlier that some board may decide they don't care as much, and that's why the ATRT two recommendation was unusual for those recommendations, explicit and clear on that particular issue.
Right.
So, but it's really a matter of future.
Let me be quite direct about that. There is nothing in the process that says that any advice has to be taken. The criteria that we're trying to reach is that every advice has to be listened to and responded to in a substantive sense. So if you're worried about future-proofing down the line, you may be able to get something cast in concrete that says that you're going to get a response, but it won't actually protect you against the much larger risk, which is the board decides that it's just going to ignore you, and it's going to do it in a timely fashion.
And provide a rationale for the ignoring.
Not specifically on this, but related to it. I've been asked before, or actually I was on the ALAC when the question was posed to the board, how much more information do you need when we send you statements, etc.? And my advice in return is, based on the recent experience of the PIC statement or advice, is that you should send in your advice with supplementary material stating the evidence as you see it. And that's quite important, because otherwise it will be presented on your behalf, which may not be in the way that you think it should be.
We've gone back. Steve and this group has discussed this ad infinitum on the various ways we can present advice so that it provides sufficient detail and at the same time does not have the board members' eyes glaze over at the volume of it and it's a learning experience. We're working on it.
I need to excuse myself. I apologize.
You were excused 25 minutes ago. Thank you for staying that long.
Well, then I'm sorry if I've intruded on your time, Renalia. And thank you all. It always is a pleasure to come here, and indeed this has been another one.
And from our part, an exceedingly productive discussion. Thank you. You have two things. Go ahead.
You would have noticed that during the ALAC meeting with the board, and I think in previous meetings, members of the board will ask, "Oh, what's the local engagement like with, you know, ALSs, etc., or the regional engagement?" And sometimes they're not aware that our ALSs are not funded to attend the meeting and that there is nothing local being organized. And I think that they have this expectation, and I think that perhaps you should have a meeting with staff to say that at every ICANN meeting, there is the expectation that there is local engagement and regional engagement, and funding should be made for that. And my second thing is, I was wondering if Leon realized that I called him a flower yesterday at the public forum.
Before you go on to that.
Yeah.
No. Renalia, may I ask that we take some time, this warrants more than 2 minutes at the end of a meeting, to talk about how we go forward and how we make those discussions, how we make those requests. And I would request that we perhaps schedule a meeting sometime in the future, teleconference, just on that one topic. And if I could ask staff to take an action item on that, thank you. I turn it over to the flower.
Thank you very much, Renalia. Yes, I was aware of the flower, and I thank you for that. Thank you very much.
Tijani and Cheryl asked for a couple of minutes, 1 minute before this meeting formally ends. There will be an ALT closed meeting following it. I did announce we extend for a half an hour, but during the open meeting, Cheryl has another intervention. Tijani.
Thank you. Alan, I am afraid we have to work very urgently on the special request, because, as you know, we worked on it for a while, but we stopped because of several things, you know. So you have to address this thing very soon, those days, because we have to come back to our railroads if there is problems, and then to send the request to the controller. So this is something very urgent that we have to work on together.
And I would suggest we have an action item to schedule an FBSC meeting at the earliest possible time after this meeting. Thank you.
Next week. Anything else?
Cheryl.
Thank you. Going back to the CWG discussions earlier on, you'll be delighted to know that I actually do not do my banking and read my email while I am in these meetings, so it was only now, as I've been doing some preparatory, where is the information I expected to be public, at 9:31 local time, the chairs of the CWD did, in fact, release their joint statement. And I think for those of you who are wondering what was going on, where is the reporting, and what sort of way forward is, whilst there is still more happening, I would like to draw your attention to that email, 9:31 today, that was crafted with the Committee of the Whole, so to speak, of leaders, and that will, I think, help some of you work out where we are in terms of what is a change of navigational direction for that group. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Absolutely.
It's Olivier speaking. I'm sorry, where was that message sent?
It has been, if you may, Cheryl, for the record, it's been sent from to the news alert. It's news alert. There's one out from at large staff to the ALAC announce list, 9:31.
I see three copies in my inbox.
I have three copies in mine.
Right, we're going to adjourn for 5 minutes. The open meeting will adjourn for five. Well, we'll close. Whatever the words are, I'm new at this. We'll cease. We'll whatever. Gisela, where are we going to? Hold on. Before everyone starts moving and talking, there was a statement that unfortunately I did not ask to be read while Steve was still here. Could you read a statement from the remote participation?
This is everyone for the record. There is a statement from the remote participant, Fan. I would like
our board member, could our board member listen, please? Because it actually is something that says thank you. Ariel, please read it.
I would like to express my gratitude to ICANN for providing the forum at ICANN 52 an opportunity to express my frustration and hope for a better, open, and free Internet. Congratulations to the successful event, ICANN 52, and thank you all for your hard work to make it happen.
Thank you very much, Ariel. We will reconvene in about 5 minutes as the... You're excused as the ALT only, and ALT and liaisons only, please. Any liaisons who choose to not be here, right here, same place, same room, in about 2 minutes.